It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 God is good. And all the time. Why? That's his nature. You know, I was going to say something just a moment ago, but as we put everything on pause, I'm having a sometimers moment. See, I don't have it all timers, so it's not called all timers. It's just sometimers. Amen. You know, over the last several weeks, I've been teaching on the Holy Spirit. I believe truly that the Holy Spirit is the least known of the Trinity. And I believe that a deeper understanding of the Holy Spirit will empower our lives. We then went on to talk about obedience and how knowing the Holy Spirit in our lives brings us to that place of obedience. Last week we had an incredible service of just the Holy Spirit moving. And that's how it works. And this morning the Lord has asked me to share with you a deeper understanding of that concept, a living sacrifice. What does that mean? You know, we read it in Scripture, but what does that truly mean? These last couple of weeks have been very crazy, at points heartbreaking. Much has not only happened here in America, but globally. And many have asked even about the situation. Why was Charlie, this great warrior of the faith, taken from us? And I believe that the Lord would say to you this day, my sons and daughters cannot be taken. When their lives have been laid down as a living sacrifice upon the altar. Charlie's life was not taken. His life was given. For when we lay down our life for the Lord, it's truly his life. A life that has been yielded and surrendered cannot be stolen, cut down, or destroyed. A life given to the Lord is like a seed, and a seed sown into the earth for his kingdom purpose will yield a great harvest. We have been called to yield a great harvest for the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Holy Spirit, we invite you here. Open our ears, open our heart, open our eyes. Let us see what we must see. Let us hear what we must hear and change us from the inside. Change our hearts this morning that we may truly understand what it is to be a living sacrifice, that we may run the race and finish well. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, amen, amen, and amen. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote most of the books of the New Testament. And his writings are filled with deep wisdom and understanding. But can I let you know, they also can be a little bit difficult to grasp at times. Sometimes we read a scripture, and unless we take it back to the original language, it may not be clear. I know before I started doing the original language, there were times that I would read through the scriptures, and if I didn't totally understand it, I would kind of be, oh, okay, well, I'll just keep reading and hopefully we'll figure it out. You know, like if you're reading a mystery novel and there's something like you don't understand, you think, well, just keep going to the end. I'll find out who did what. One such phrase is actually found in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. So if you could open your Bibles to Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. If you don't have your Bible, I have it up here, but you know we really want you to have your word. You know, and I know that a lot of times we try to do it on our phones and that kind of stuff, but I'm just telling you, they're digitally changing the word of God. They're leaving scriptures out, they're changing words because they don't want you to know the truth. And there's something about the word of God, holding it in your hand. You see, because when you hold the word of God, It's the true revelation. That's all it is. Now, I know some of us, we use our phone for a lot of things, but that's the point. We use our phone for looking up the Bible. We use our phone to call our friends. We look up, use our phone to search things online. You know what I'm saying? It has a multi-purpose to it. But there's something about holding the Word of God in your hand, and its only purpose is to draw you closer to God. There's something about that. They're like singleness of purpose and singleness of mind. Amen? And if you got your phone right now and you're doing the phone, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm not trying to point a finger. I'm just sharing. I know some of you are like going, I'm sorry. It's okay. It's all right. You know, one of the things that I've always tried to do is find the oldest Bible that I can because I know there's least changes in it. And I do study the Word in Greek, and I do study the Word in Hebrew, and I try to go as far back to original language because it just opens up our understanding. So let's take your time a moment right now. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. And this is what it says. Read along with me. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. Thank you for that word, Lord. So a lot of times people ask the question, well, like, well, what is a living sacrifice? Because that's not a common phrase that we use today. I don't hear people saying that very often, especially in our Western society. And have you ever read scripture and not totally understood what it meant? And then you just kind of, like I said, you kind of just kind of skip over it and you hope that somehow you get it later on. I believe the concept of a living sacrifice is one that requires some deliberate searching to fully understand. And I believe this morning a deeper understanding of a living sacrifice will expose a new way of looking at our lives and how we're supposed to be in the world today. That's my desire this morning. Now, Romans could be considered Paul's most thorough explanation of redemptive history. He starts with sinfulness of mankind and God's judgment of both the Jews and the Gentiles alike. He then introduces Christ as the solution to humanity's sin problem. Because of this, believers live in freedom from sin and peace with God. And then he addresses God's sovereignty over salvation and the future of the Jews. And then we get to the beginning of chapter 12. And Paul goes from theology to how we should live our lives. In other words, he goes from all this explanation to the concrete boots on the ground. And that happens in chapter 12. And Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, is about our heart attitude behind the commands. Paul was asking the believers to sacrifice themselves to God, not as a sacrifice on the altar, like the Mosaic law required, the sacrifice of animals, but as a living sacrifice. So the dictionary describes living sacrifice as anything consecrated and offered to God. Anything consecrated and offered to God. So as believers, how do we consecrate and offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice? Because see, that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 is actually saying to us. Paul is saying, listen, this walk that you're going to take, this journey that you're going to take requires you to be a living sacrifice. It's almost like a contrary terms. You know, it's like, what do they call those oxymorons? You know, sweet and sour. Military intelligence. Pretty ugly. Jumbo shrimp. I could go down the list, right? living sacrifice. Like, when that was heard, the mind was like, wait a minute, the Mosaic law is telling me a sacrifice is something that is offered, it is killed, the blood is shed for the remission of sin. That's a sacrifice. But yet you're saying, I'm a living sacrifice. So, like, are you going to kill me, but I'm still alive? Can you see the misunderstanding that could happen there? So, he's saying to them, let's take a real closer look at this. What does it mean to consecrate ourselves and then to offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice? So under the old covenant, God accepted sacrifices of animals. But we know, even reading in scripture, those were all temporary. They weren't forever. It was just, that's why when Jesus came to be the living sacrifice for us all, it was once and for all sacrifice. But these were just foreshadows of the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And because of his ultimate once for a time sacrifice on the cross, all the sins of the saints, and believe it, that includes you and me, have been atoned by the blood of Jesus. I could give you numerous scriptures of that. Hebrews 9, 12, 2 Corinthians 5, 21, Romans 3, 24 to 25, and 5 verses 9. I could go down the list. But for those who are in Christ, by the virtue of saving faith, the only acceptable worship is to offer ourselves completely to the Lord. I mean, if we truly understood the price that was paid, our dedication to him would be unceasing. We would come to the place where we understand we can't pay it back. The great price that was paid for each and every one of us. And so our worship is to offer ourselves completely to the Lord and under God's control. See, sometimes that's a hard one for us because we want to be the boss of us. And when we do that, when we offer ourselves completely to the Lord, when we allow ourselves to be under God's control, we become an instrument of righteousness. You become an instrument of righteousness. At the end of verse 1, we see that Paul describes being a living sacrifice as a spiritual worship. The word for worship here can also mean ministry or service. So this gives us a good starting place for understanding sacrifice in the New Testament context. So one way to understand sacrifice in the New Testament is as a service or an offering to God. The very fact that Paul tells his readers to offer their lives as an offering or service to the Lord would indicate that doing so was important. In other words, he probably was seeing a lot of things going on, probably like our world today. Is there anybody that comes to mind right now? Don't yell out their names. This is kind of a rhetorical question. Who will tell you that they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And yet, the way they present themselves, the words that come from their mouths, the places they go and the things they do, don't represent Jesus very well. We see it all the time. We see people that say, oh, I know God, but they don't know God. Do you know what I'm saying? Like at the beginning, it says, Adam knew Eve. Adam knew Eve is an intimacy. Do you know when the Word of God says to know God? That's what they're looking for. They're looking for an intimate relationship. One that would say, I would never want to hurt you because I love you so much. And yet, we have people who wear the Christian badge They don't look like Jesus. They don't sound like Jesus. They got the cliches. Oh, I love you, brother. God bless. But see, that's what he's saying here. I'm sure that in his day, this is what he was seeing. And Paul was looking at them and saying, you know what? We need to let our worship be our sacrifice. We need to spiritually worship. We need to have a ministry and a service that gives us a deeper understanding. So, one way to understand that sacrifice in the New Testament, as I said, is service or an offering to God. And I believe that Paul was looking at the new believers and saying, let me help you to bring clarity so that all that you say and do will move the kingdom forward. Isn't that our desire this morning? Is to just be an influence for God, that we're moving the kingdom forward? Right now, the harvest is ready. There are people that are looking for the real thing. They're looking for Jesus. Amen? So let me just give you just a couple of quick qualities of what a living sacrifice is. So we might ask, you might say, Pastor, how do I live my life as an offering or service to God? Pastor, I don't hear you. How would I live my life as service to God? You know what? I'm glad you asked me that question. As we explore that question, our focus should begin with the attitude of our heart. You see, we can't manipulate or force ourselves to love. That's the problem with our world today. We manipulate relationships. We think somehow we can, if I do this for you, you do this for me, and then it's a bartering system. And then you get to be with God and you start bartering with him. It doesn't work that way. So we need to start with our heart. Without the right motive, our good deeds are nothing more than filthy rags to God. How do I know that? Isaiah 64:6 tells me that. Even our good things are like filthy rags. Because see, it begins with our intent. It begins with our heart. So the Apostle Paul, who wrote the command for believers to present themselves as living sacrifices, understood that his life did not belong to him. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So in a spiritual sense, Paul's old self and the life that he lived for himself died when he accepted Christ. That's us. We need to realize that all of the things that we held on to so important, me, my, I, all the things I want to do, we need to understand gets left behind when we say yes to Jesus. And see, that's where the problem with the world is right now, because they want to carry their luggage and still serve Jesus. They want to carry their past habits. They want to carry their past addictions. They want to carry their past attitudes. And God says, can you just leave that at the foot of the cross? Come and follow me. I got such great things for you. But the problem that we have is that we can't run for the Lord because we're dragging our luggage. Don't look at me. Some of you here, husbands and wives, you got matching sets of luggage. Right? His life now is given to him by Jesus. Therefore, Paul lives every day through faith in the life-giving power of Jesus. You know, we don't do anything unless we ask Jesus in. Yesterday, we helped Isaiah and Heidi move into their place. What was the first thing when I walked into your apartment? What did I do? I prayed. Heavenly Father, we need your help. We need organization. We need people to be safe. We don't want to dig up walls. We don't want to fall downstairs. Why not? Or unless you're doing it in your own power, then you're going to struggle. We don't wait till we have the problem. We pray before the problem ever comes. And guess what? Problem usually never shows up. Hello? Just a thought. I know that was just for me. So Paul tells us in Romans 1:1, he described himself as a servant of Christ Jesus, set apart for the gospel. The Greek word translated servant more accurately means slave. We are slaves to Christ. Servant and slaves do not live for themselves, but do whatever their master wishes. And we as believers must think of ourselves as slaves of Christ. We have been bought with an immeasurable price, the blood of the Son of God himself. Through the shedding of his blood, we have been raised to new life. And it's only right that we would live our lives in complete service and devotion to the one who saved us. You see, unless we forget where we came from, we don't realize the price that was paid. I know it's going to sound funny, but like I see Bob Barker. Now, the young kid's not going to know who this is. But Bob Barker says, hey, show them what they won. And they open up the curtain and it's hell, damnation, torture. But you've chosen curtain number two. You've accepted your life and Savior, Jesus Christ, and you're serving him. Hey, Bob, show them what they've got. All eternity with God Almighty. In the presence of God, in the peace, the joy. I can only imagine. I can only imagine, right? What that's going to be like. To be with those who have gone before us. To see my dad again. To see Jeannie's dad. Her brother. And I know I've left people out. To see Adrian again. Right? There's so many that we'll get to see again. Understanding this, we can now look at how to act as a living sacrifice. So Paul encourages us. He's encouraging the people that he's speaking to. He's encouraging, become a living sacrifice. And Paul explains what that means in verse 2. Here we glean three basic elements of a living sacrifice. And this is what I want to share with you in our closing this morning. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So three things he's saying here. Not to conform to the ideals of the world. Not to conform to the way that the world does things. Is that another? Am I on the right slide? It should be on slide 9. That is 9? Guy must have been asleep when he did that. The second thing, transformed by an inward renewal that works outward. In other words, the problem with our society today is they're trying to take care of all of the outward problems. Oh, well, you know, they show signs of this, give them this drug. Oh, you know, their behavior is this, go fix that. When really the issue is a heart issue. It's really in something that's inside that needs to change in us so that the outward expression is in line with God's word. I've always said this. Rules and regulations without a relationship always turns to rebellion. Oh, you might have your kids behave you or people do what you want when you're standing there, but what's going to happen when you're not there? Are they going to be internally motivated by the word of God to do the things that are righteousness? And that's where we come into play. How about us? Is it that when our parents are around, we do the right thing, but then our parents aren't there, we do whatever we want? Is it when we say, oh, there's somebody from church, so I better clean up my language? And I don't know why sailors get a bad rap, but you know, somebody said that this morning. Yeah, talk like a sailor. I don't know. Do you understand? We have to be, if we are living sacrifices, we're transformed inward and it shows outward. And the last thing is that we need to be able to discern the will of God. Well, I don't know what God wants me to do, and I don't. The Word of God says that we know the shepherd's voice. Maybe we need to spend more time in the Word so we can hear His voice, so that when He speaks to us, it's louder than what the world is. Maybe we need to, somebody said it here this morning, maybe we need to shut the world off so we can hear His still small voice. Could it possibly be that we're so confused because we're listening to the Word of God, but we're listening to the world at the same time? And depending on where we are emotionally, and that's another whole message, we'll determine what voice that we listen to. And when we listen to the wrong voice, we're always like, oh, I can't believe I did that again. I can. Because we're creatures of habit. We're going to either become a living sacrifice and everything we say and do honors God, or we're not. You can't walk down the middle of the street. Because if we do, we're going to get hit from traffic coming both ways. Road pizza. Okay. So the first thing we're told, that a living sacrifice is not conformed to what the world looks like. This means that a believer who desires to live in an offering to God rejects whatever he or she's in the world that does not line up with Scripture. Don't entertain it. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, I wouldn't even look at it. Why even put it in your brain? Why put your eyes even on it? Well, I just want to see what the world thinks. No, you don't. That's the open door for Satan. It opens up the door of doubt. And that was right from the garden. Did God really say? He's been playing that card since the beginning of time. In the first chapter of Romans, Paul describes how humanity turned from God and refused to acknowledge Him as Lord. And therefore, He gave them over to their foolish ways of thinking. A lot of foolish ways going on in the world? From there, people became more and more depraved, running further and further from God's ways. We who profess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior must be unwavering to reject ideas and practices that are opposing to what God has said from the beginning and what God says is right. We love everybody, but you know what? The Word of God says He made them man and woman. You don't like it? Take it up with God. Not me. I'm just the messenger. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Right? He doesn't have to go through all the things that it isn't because He told you what it is. If I said that you were coming to my house and you were having burgers, I don't have to tell you you're not having chicken, you're not having roast beef, you're not having turkey, you're not having fish, I don't have to run down all the things we're not going to have because I told you what we are going to have. God doesn't have to tell you all the things it's not because He told you what it is. Does that make sense? The world's crazy. When others see this quality in us, that we will not sway and bend, opposing the things that grieve the heart of God, they will see that we are disciples of Christ. Second thing, a living sacrifice is to be inwardly transformed and renewed, which will work its way out in actions. We are transformed when the way we think is changed. The way that we think. What does God say? This is not something we do on our own. We don't have the power to do that. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to see things of God. Salvation is not clean yourself up, get your life together, then Jesus will love you. And some people believe that. Oh, you know, when I get myself together, then I'll come to church and meet Jesus. It ain't going to happen. It's quite the opposite. Salvation is God forgiving us, reaching down into the filth of our hearts and transforming us into new creatures who love him and want to do his will. Right? I want to do what God has before me. I want to please him. I want to love him more. It's not hard to follow when you love him. And rather than focus on doing or saying all the right things, we should be focused on just renewing our hearts. It has always been a heart issue. When our hearts are made new, it will change how we think, how we feel, and how we behave. And in order to change our behavior, we must invest time and energy into renewing our minds and our hearts through prayer and time in God's Word. Okay? Simple. And the final thing that Paul said here, Paul tells us that a person who is committed to being a living sacrifice will be able to discern the will of God by testing. So the word that the ESV translates as testing can also be translated to this: discern, examine, or approve. Basically, he is saying that as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and we grow in our understanding of who God is, we will develop the ability to test a situation and determine if the direction we want to go lines up with God's desire for our lives. It's not a guessing game. You don't have to guess. God will give you wisdom and discernment that when something approaches you, you will know, gee, is this where God wants me to go or not? There have been numerous opportunities. Some of them look absolutely fabulous. And God, knowing God's will, knowing the prophetic word over my life, I was like, thank you very much for that honor. But I can't follow that path. And the person said to me, do you understand what I'm asking? I'm asking you run my company. And I will pay you a hefty six-digit income. With a car. With gas. Insurance, your phone, and he went down the list. Boy, did that sound good. But it meant I couldn't be here giving you the word. The things of the world don't excite me because I know who my Lord is. And the things of this world are only temporary. I love the Lord. Okay. It's an incredible promise. We don't have to guess God's will for our lives. We don't have to go around hoping that we don't screw up. We don't. When we prayerfully seek his wisdom, he gives us the ability to see his will. This means God will guide us as we live our lives in service to him. Paul's encouragement to the Romans and to us, it's not an easy calling. To be a living sacrifice means to live every minute of every day as an offering and service to the Lord. It radically goes against our culture of self-promotion and making our own dreams come true. It means laying down our ambitions, our dreams, our gifts, and fears, and telling God, do whatever you want with me. I'm your servant. With this understanding, we will be ready to reject the things that don't line up with God's word. We will be ready to devote our lives to having our minds renewed, and we will learn how to discern the will of God for our lives. To be a living sacrifice. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the direction. Jesus, not only do you save us from our sins and bring us into the presence of the Father, but you lived a perfect life for us to follow. Jesus, you established what it means to be a living sacrifice. You were God in the flesh, yet you humbled yourself and lived to serve others. You called out sin and rejected the ideals of the culture around you. Your mind was in complete agreement with that of the Father. You knew the will of God and always acted on it. Jesus, you set a perfect example for us, and you are always ready to forgive us when we fail to live up to that example. Thank you for your mercy and grace as we work toward living every moment of our lives as offerings to you. Holy Spirit, help us to change our mindset from what we want to what you want. Give us strength to act upon your will. Holy Spirit, help us to fall in love with the heart of Jesus. Let that love bring a desire to be like him. Let our lives be a living sacrifice, a life that brings a great harvest for the kingdom. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope this morning, as we have spent this time in God's word, that it's been an encouragement to you that God is desiring a love relationship with you, that he wants to see you as a living sacrifice that others will see and want to know him. I hope this morning you are encouraged to say, you know, Lord, I have been living for you, but this morning I desire to be a living sacrifice for you. May everything I say and do be the will of the Father. May everything I say and do bring glory to the name of Jesus as we choose with each breath to be Christ-like. Amen. Amen. God bless you and shalom.